He is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. This is Ministry of the Badge.
And somehow the police got left holding the bag. And so what happened was the Department of Justice, of course, California as well, but the Department of Justice opened up investigations into police practices. And so the trend has been Department of Justice, particularly under Democrat administrations, opens up what's called a pattern and practice investigation. And they basically say that anytime one cop does something wrong, it must be because there is a systemic problem in the police department. There's poor training. There's ineffective policies. There's ineffective resources. And or there's racism. There's always racism that's underlying most of these police consent decrees is racism. And I'll talk about current examples as well. But so cities, by the way, I mean, you've all seen this in prosecutions. When the federal government comes after you with its endless resources and its punitive scope of measures that it can apply, even America's biggest cities worth with tens of billions of dollars of budgets, they quake because it can become very expensive and it can become a politically charged football to continue to have these federal court hearings and judges and all of that. So what typically happens is the DOJ says, hi, we are from the government. We think that you're a racist and we'd like you to enter into a consent decree where you, the city, is going to pay Bob over here, who works at a big white shoe law firm, several million dollars to monitor your compliance with this. I mean, this is a binder. Some of the consent decrees are longer than this. Hundreds of pages long of minutely detailed orders of what they're supposed to do to improve their police practices. And
who comes up with those guidelines?
The lawyers in the civil rights divisions of the United States Department of Justice.
Do they have a lot of experience policing big cities?
They have no experience policing big cities. Some of them have probably never met a cop in the wild. In Seattle and Portland and all of these cities being under consent decrees, no federal judge ever looked at the evidence and found that the United States Department of Justice actually proved their case that there was systemic racism or systemic improper training. It was lawyers like the ones I described earlier who don't have much trial experience, looking at a dry paper record, and by the way, over the last several years, sitting in their living room doing it because they were working from home during COVID. So in their home, looking at paper and selectively cherry picking evidence from these records that they forced the cities to turn over, reaching conclusions. Not reaching conclusions that a jury agreed with or that even a federal judge saw the evidence of, but simply bullying American cities into compliance. I want to speculate about motives, but it has made our cities less safe. It has made us pay for the cities to become less safe. So that's particularly galling. We have to pay some you know, person eating at Morton's on our dime and attending conferences on our dime. And cops, who are people who put their lives on the line for us every day, are made to feel ashamed of their jobs. And America's less safe. But we also have to all be punished collectively. You know, back to the point of collective punishment, we all have to suffer because there's one bad cop or two bad cops.
Can you imagine how many bad... I don't really understand.
Well,
I mean, it's one thing to say in a MSNBC segment, there's systemic racism. But if you're a civil rights division attorney, you have to prove it, correct?
You should have to prove it. But as I said, no jury has ever agreed with the DOJ.
But what are the measures?
Goals have they accomplished in a decade? Are things better in that city? Are the people safer? What are we getting in exchange? Some of these consent decrees, Tucker, cost cities over the course of this 10 years, just forget the monitor who's getting paid $10 million bucks, on average. $200 million in some cases is what it costs a city or a county to comply with a decade-long consent decree.
So in the end, the lawyers get rich and more people get shot to death.
That is correct. That is the average outcome of a consent decree.
wow, it's just so evil. It makes you think, like, maybe we just burn the system down and start again.
Developing tonight, chaos in the middle of Capitol Hill with 23 people arrested. Glad you're with us. Hi, everybody. I'm Michelle Esteban. The chaos unfolded after a religious pro-life group put on a concert at Cal Anderson Park. That is when counter-protesters showed up, insisting the whole thing was meant to intimidate the trans community. Como's Ryan Sims has more from Cal Anderson Park tonight. And Ryan, this got so intense that safety reinforcements were actually brought in.
That's right. As you mentioned, 23 arrests so far. That is how it is as the night comes to a close. Now, you can see that the park is largely clear right now, obviously peaceful, but that was not the case today. As you mentioned, reinforcements had to be brought in the forms of Washington State troopers. They had to provide reinforcement to all those SPD officers at the height of this chaos. Again, 23 people are now in custody after the catastrophe and really all the destruction today. Going forward, we are told that all those people arrested could face charges of both obstruction and assault. As for what occurred, counter-protesters showed up here speaking out against a concert organized by a group called On Fire Ministries, a religious pro-life group that promotes a two-gender ideology, with critics, though, calling it anti-trans and anti-LGBTQ. In response to everything that happened, one of the counter-protesters told us she is angry with the city for allowing this concert to even happen here, while one of the actual concert-goers says she means no harm. This is what they both told us earlier.
Isn't it something how when you watch these protests go on, listen to the words that they use. The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, this is the result of these consent decrees and lack of leadership at the top in our elected officials. When you watch those videos of our sisters and brothers in blue, and when you read the headlines battling against Antifa and protecting Christians, and it always spins into a connotation where somehow you guys who wear the badge are the occupying force that are just coming in and bashing people, when in fact none of that is true. The reason why I played you part of that interview with Harmeet Dillon and Tucker Carlson, I want you to understand how far and deep the battle against cops really are. And it goes to the deepest parts of our society, and more to the point, to the deepest parts of some of our leaders. Shame on some of our leaders for taking the stances that they take against police officers. I'm not here to be political on Ministry of the Badge, but politics, unfortunately, is involved. And when you see these kind of reactions from our leadership, who are supposed to be our servants, people that we vote in, and they're only taking a stance against certain, for certain sectors of our society, and it sure always seems that they are taking a stance against police officers, that's where I draw the line. And so I would really encourage you to watch that full interview with Harmeet Dillon and Tucker Carlson, because it has everything to do with this. It's not coincidental that that interview had come out. And I get nothing from Tucker. I don't know Tucker. I hope he doesn't. I don't get in trouble for playing part of that interview from his website. But I'll tell you what, it strikes home to the point that the war on cops has come from the federal government at one time, and it's been this way for a long time. This in Seattle goes back way back to 2015. I spent the summer in Seattle years ago, 1989. I was over in Boy Scout camp, and I was a firearms instructor, and I spent, and Seattle was great. I remember I was going to get a job at the I can't remember. It's a suburb outside of Seattle. It's not Bremerton. I can't remember the department offhand. But I had planned on working out there and working near Seattle. I'd gone to Silverton a few times, and the men and women on that police department, like other police departments around the United States, Minneapolis, Louisville, Kentucky, some of these police departments that were targeted by the federal government. When you watch that full interview, the reason why I'm doing this Ministry of the Badge is because I want you to understand, those of you who are in those situations, those of you who are trying to live up to expectations that are just completely unreal, that were made up for you, that shame on our leaders that they put on you to make you feel as if though you are unworthy to do the job that you're doing. And for some reason, they want to make it out to be that it's your fault and you're just not compassionate enough. You're just not, you know, handling things right. And certain groups feel so downtrodden by you. Well, that's all just plain garbage. Because as that interview said, not a single time did the federal government prove in a court of law, when they actually took these cases to court, did they win. That's telling, ladies and gentlemen. That's telling. The reason why I have this Twitter feed up here, this is the Seattle Police Officers Guild. I was once part of my what we called our association. They call it the Seattle Police Officers Guild. I just wanted to show you and read this. This to me, officers, we do a job, and you guys who do a job out there, you ministers of the badge, you do a job that, as I say all the time on this show, most people will not do. They just won't. And they can't understand when you do the job you do. And they can't empathize with you because they don't know what it's like to have that calling upon their life. But I've seen a lot of these kind of statements given by association members, presidents, so on and so forth, that it's almost a cry for help. And we're not that cry for help people. Cops come to help people. We don't want the help. And that's maybe that's some of the problem. But when it comes to doing our jobs, this letter pretty much sums it up. And I don't know any of these folks. I don't know this particular person who wrote this. I don't know them. But I felt so strongly, this pressed upon my heart to come on and do this Ministry of the Badge for you. This war on cops and these consent decrees that are being given and hopefully taken back by the federal government, unnecessarily so, that they were actually put upon these departments. And now that we have a administration that is very pro-law enforcement, they want to change things and bring things to where they should be. And that's the rule of law, and that's the rule of order. So I'm just going to read you some of this. And I mean, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we're going to, public safety in the city of Seattle continues to be politicized, and violent Antifa criminals once again dominate Seattle's public safety conversation with their insane use of political violence. This is Seattle's public safety political reality. Over 700 police officers have fled this city in the past decade. This is due to the public safety political decision by our elected leaders, activist pressure, and for their lack of action against Antifa criminals who continue to dictate public safety in political terms. The remaining police officers in this city are tired. Our community is tired. This is Seattle's public safety political reality. He says this several times in this piece. Over 700 police officers have fled this city. Ladies and gentlemen, of Ministry of the Badge, this is not the only department that has happened to. And the terminology that he's using, and they have fled. Cops don't flee from anything. They retreat back. They regroup. And they go to do the job again. I watched the guys on our line in our own town get beat back with, you know, bottles and water bottles and pee bottles and all kinds of crap being thrown at them. And they had to regroup and come right back again. That's what cops do. But these guys are fleeing. And they're not fleeing because they're chickens or they're cowardly. They're fleeing because they have no sense of being backed up. Again, I don't know these people. I don't know any one of them on there. And if I do, I apologize. But if I can be any kind of encouragement to you, that's what I'm going to do. And I want to tell you to hold strong. I got a Bible verse for you in a minute. Let's continue to read. Time and time again, Seattle's public safety servants have been the tool or entity to blame for Seattle's woes. Despite this reality, SPOG members know that we lead the nation in policing accountability and that our accountability system is under full civilian management. Yeah, look at that video and see about civilian management. Yet we incessantly hear political activists calling for more. This is Seattle's public safety reality, political reality. In the past 15 years, Seattle's tax base has spent well over $200 million to pay federal monitors and their staff in what appears to be the never-ending Department of Justice consent decree. Again, watch that full interview. This person's exactly right. Watch this full interview. This goes deep. Given, will it ever end? How many policies need to be changed? This is Seattle's public safety political reality. Given today's marks the fifth anniversary of George Floyd's death, we stood with Seattle during the 2020 George Floyd demonstrations. As the demonstrations turned riotous, we were then ordered to protect public buildings and infrastructure at all costs. As a result of these riots and political pressure, our elected leaders decided to surrender a police precinct. We were also prohibited from entering major sections of our city to answer 911 calls. People died as a result. Untold amounts of property destruction occurred. Scores of police officers were injured. The city paid out millions of dollars. Sadly, this was one of the major reasons that led to our current police staffing crisis. This is Seattle's public safety political reality. SPOG welcomes a mayoral review of yesterday's Seattle Parks Department's decision to allow a demonstration permit for families who wanted to exercise their First Amendment rights at Cal Anderson Park. We are struggling to understand why it was this park chosen and authorized, especially when this park is commonly known as the heart of Antifa land. We have no doubt that this city's decision, as naive or deliberate as it was, put police officers in the unattainable predicament. Whether it's our job or not, we were once again ordered to put ourselves into a political quagmire. SPOG understands. We will once again get blamed, and more calls will be heard for more accountability. This is Seattle's public safety political reality. To be clear, we do not have the proper staffing to handle any more of these demonstrations that turn into mass arrests. Even more importantly, we as a police union understand that this city lacks the political will to allow police to use the necessary tools to hold back criminal mobs to protect life and property. This, once again, puts lives in danger. Haven't we learned from 2020? Will our prosecutors and judges hold these criminals accountable? Will the activists call for more police accountability? This is Seattle's public safety political reality. Presently, 28% of the city's remaining 847 deployable police officers, that's 284, are eligible to retire. If yesterday is a precursor of future events, we may see what was previously described as Seattle's summer of love, quote unquote, once again. This turns into Seattle's summer of violence and the decimation of a once renowned police force. This is Seattle's public safety reality. Moving forward, the Seattle Police Department is hiring. When you hear this, it's disheartening. And I know every single one of you out there who tunes into Ministry of the Badge feel what these guys are going through. Because at one time in your career, you felt this. And in the last 10 to 15 years, we've really felt this. And he says it. They say it. All the political tools and all the tools that we know to do, you send us through all kinds of training, knowing full well we know how to do our jobs. And in every way, shape, or form, you try to hold us back because nothing, quote unquote, looks good. What a shame. What an absolute shame. And Tucker says it in the interview. It seems pretty evil that you would stick up for the criminal and bash the cop. He doesn't say it quite like that, but he says, he references, it's evil to let your city be shot up. It's evil to allow these kind of things to happen. And it's one thing to, notice it says in there, it's one thing to hold political protests, which happened in our city of Kenosha. It happened there. And then it turns into what it always turns into, and those are riots. Look into the history of how these things occur. This is flat out communism at its best, especially if you can disrupt the police. Again, I'm not going to get too political here on Ministry of the Badge, but it is what it is. And I'm sick and tired of my brothers and sisters around the country getting bashed for something. And they say, we're in a political quagmire. We're stuck and we're going to be the ones blamed. Because none of you want to actually do the hard thing and get control. And none of you actually want to do the hard thing and make laws so people have to follow them. And none of you want to prosecute because everything looks bad or you agree with it. So it's one of the two, is it not? Go back and watch Ministry of the Badge when I talk about evil. Evil isn't afraid of good. Evil attacks good. This particular case that they're talking about in that park was a Christian group who were there to establish that this is Christianity and we're not going to take this. And whether or not they were in the heart of Antifa land, maybe only people in the locals know that. But Christians are told to bring the message to the people, and that's exactly what they did. And again, not knowing this group, not knowing who they are, being a Christian myself, that's exactly where they should be. And the police officers are going to be doing a job to protect those people, whether they were Christians or it was a Christians attacking the Antifa, they would have had to have arrested them. But it wasn't like that. And then when you have the leader, the mayor, come out and bash the Christians, well, that's easy. That's low-hanging fruit. But I'm going to tell you this. It is pure evil and completely against God's order of things. And this is why you're being attacked, Seattle Police Department. And you're right. You've upheld a standard that was forced upon you, but not just because it was forced upon you, because you do want to live up to a standard. You do want to hold a high standard of being police officers who don't cross lines, who are part of the community, who really do care about the people. And when the job needs to be done, you want to be able to do your job so you can protect those people. That's exactly right. Shame on you, leaders of Seattle. Yeah, like you care what some guy from another part of the country says about any of you. See, that's the problem. But you, the constituents of the Seattle, you, the ones who are Christians out there, you, the ones who back your police, whether you're Christian or not, stick up for these guys. Because just like he said, if you suddenly have all these guys quit, and I'd be willing to bet a lot of them are going to quit, they're going to retire. 700 of them fled, according to this letter. That's crazy. While the iron is hot, while you have an administration that's in office willing to back the police, stick up for these guys. Tell your leaders you no longer want it like this. There are countries where you go as a cop, you're not even liked. I was told by a cop from England, and some of you who are out there, if you listen from England, maybe you can attest to this. He said, you don't tell anybody you're a cop when you're in England. He came over here, went to one of our malls, and they thanked him for his service, and he was like, you've got to be kidding me. Do you want it like that here in America? Is this what you want? To my brothers in Seattle and sisters in Seattle, to my brothers and sisters in Minneapolis, in Louisville, Chicago, Atlanta, Memphis, some of you who are coming under scrutiny that you just are feeling so burnt out. And it's driving a wedge into your want. I can't blame you. I really can't. I can't say I don't understand. I can't say I don't understand. The President of the United States bashed our police department years ago. A few years ago, within this time frame. I could tell you how we felt. I could tell you how we felt when our governor came out and said things against us. So I can empathize with you. But it's clear that you are proud of your city, the Emerald City. It's clear that maybe you grew up there. Maybe that's what you always wanted to do, was be a cop in Seattle and just give back to your community. You see, when you ask most cops, that's exactly what they want to do. They want to give back. You see, I want to just help people. This letter is a cop's way saying, come on, give us a break. Don't put us in this position. We don't want to be put in this position. Nobody wants to be put in this position. We're doing a job unlike most people do. We get it. You don't understand. We get it. We're going to get tossed around again. We get it. But we're getting tired. We're getting burnt out. Don't you see it? And before our city burns down, before you put us in a no-win situation with the summer coming up and everybody acting crazy, do something to help us. Tell these groups to knock it off. Tell these groups you're going to stand up for what's right. You're not going to go to every fringe organization and stick up for them. Look at these fringe organizations around the country, ladies and gentlemen. You're starting to see cracks in the armor. You're starting to see the leadership doing and getting arrested for things. No way. No, you've got to be kidding me. You mean to tell me some people who are protesting against cops and doing whatever are scamming the system? No, I can't believe it. You mean to tell me that you have attorneys around the United States who are scamming these cities out of millions and millions of dollars while nothing changes? You're going to tell me with this consent decrees all over the United States that the crime rates go up 60% in some areas? Oh, no way. Go back and watch again the Ministry of the Badge, what I call the Ministry of Evil, and see why that is. ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see it again. In this world and in this life, there will be troubles, the Bible says. It's clear. And those of us who wore the badge at one time and those who still wear the badge, and our ministers for good face opposition unlike most will ever see in their lifetime. A soldier who goes to war sees it concentrated. I say it this way. They see it concentrated. It's like concentrated orange juice, right, without the water. They see it all in one shot. They get that bitter taste all in one shot. And it takes a toll. But a cop has it a lot more potent. And it's diluted maybe a little bit. Right? Maybe he doesn't taste the original bitterness. I mean, there are a couple times he'll see just horrific things and he'll have to compartmentalize that and put that off. And when you have leadership that does this to you, it only adds to that, as they say in this letter, that burnout. This war that's on you is not an easy thing to deal with. So let me encourage you this way, the best way I know how. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. I don't want you to be discouraged, but I can tell you I understand. But know your God will be with you wherever you go. You are doing a job that no one else will do. And you've been called to do it. And if you cry out to the God who laid it upon your heart to do it, he will give you the courage to continue to do your job and do it well. And you can, without reservation, if necessary, use the force you need to use to maintain order, to maintain control, and you can hold your head up high knowing that while using that force and serving that community in that way during those hard times, you can do it because you are ministers for good. And sometimes that good requires those who are in it, requires them to use force necessary to gain control of the evil that you see. I wanted to do this ministry of the badge, and again, I wanted to highly encourage you to go back and watch that full interview with Tucker Carlson and our Assistant Attorney General, Harmeet Dhillon. In the article from the Gateway Pundit, she makes a comment and says, see, this is exactly what I've been talking about. This is exactly what I was talking about these consent decrees. And for those of you leaders who are putting pressure upon your police officers, just remember, you too have been put into position by God who brings up and takes down kingdoms. Your leadership is not in a vacuum. And you are the top executives of the executive branch of the government. And for you to go against your police, you are wrong. You are dead wrong. But I would encourage you to be strong and courageous and make the right decisions for the men who serve under you and serve with you because you are ministers for good. And in ordinary for good to attain what it needs to, strong leadership has to let the police do what they need to do to keep control. So be strong. Be courageous. It's been commanded of you. And if you can't handle it, step aside and let someone else. And for those of you who are elected officials who do back your police, thank you. Thank you. For those chiefs of police who have lost their jobs backing their guys because it was the right thing to do, thank you. Thank you. You too, be strong and courageous. Sometimes in the face of the enemy, it's going to get bad. I could use 1,001 cliches, right? About taking flak over the target, so on and so forth. But this war on police via these consent decrees, and you watch some of the video of these rioters protesting, and I saw it firsthand. It's coming again because evil realizes that good is on the hill. Evil realizes that it can't let good take a foothold. It's had control for quite some time. Those of you who are Christian, pray for your leadership. It's been commanded of us to pray for our leaders. But I want you to understand that someday, when the Christians are all gone from this world, and that could be any time, it will be unprecedented how bad it's going to be. Hope you're not caught in that environment. So I'm going to tell you, as I do on every program, if you're a person who wears the badge, you are a minister. As we studied in Romans, ministry of the badge, why? I would encourage you to go back and watch that episode. But I'm going to tell you, the only way to be the best warrior you can be, the only way to be the best servant of the people that you can be, the only way to be the best minister of the badge you can be, is by being a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Christ Jesus. Hit subscribe and thank you.
For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. You've been listening to Ministry of the Badge.